الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثواب وخير أملا، صدق الله المولانا العظيم. In this ayat and part of it we have been discussing, the first part Allah Ta'ala says al-mal wal-banoon, our wealth and our offspring, things of this dunya. These are the things, zinatul hayati dunya. They are the beauties and the things of this dunya. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ And the things that remain forever. And we have been giving the explanation of what بَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ That is much more superior by Allah Ta'ala. خَيْرٌ ثَوَابٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا And of what you have hope, that is the best also. Somebody has said very beautifully that everyone is making effort. Now we should see in which direction is our effort. Somebody's effort is to make his Jannat. And somebody's effort is to make his Jahannam. Somebody's effort is to destroy his Jannat. Allah gave him Jannat, gave him a birth in a Muslim home, gave him Iman, Islam, and he's making effort, but by his effort he's destroying his Jannat and he's making his Jahannam. Everyone wants peace and comfort and pleasure. Some of us are looking for it in this dunya. And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Allah gives to whom He wants to, how much He wants to. And if He wants to deprive, there are so many people, which the Quran explains, that amilatun nasiba, they make a lot of effort, so much effort that sweat comes on their forehead. But in spite of that, they get nothing. We see how many people, they are laborers, no Iman, Islam also, working so hard, they leave their home so early in the morning to get that little money or as laborers, and they return back so late again. And then they back at work again. And no Iman, Islam, nothing of this dunya also, nothing of Akhirat also. So we should be very concerned in which direction our efforts are. Are we, and to prepare for our Akhirat, it is very, very easy. Whenever somebody came to Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam and complained about roses, that my rosy is not enough, my earning is not right, I've got financial problems. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam used to advise them, read this ayat and advise them, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ Command your family people to perform salah. وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا وَاسْطَبِرْ And you yourself be very regular with your namaz. Guard your namazes properly. Allah says, حَافِذُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ That is, not only perform your namaz, but guard it. Like anything, we have to guard something. Then we really look after that thing. Not just that it is there, we put it away somewhere, but you are looking after it. Like that, we have to guard our namaz. And this, how much we will look after namaz, so much namaz will look after us. That is also said very beautifully in Urdu, Jitne tum tumhari namaz ko jandar banaoge. How much you will make your namaz full of life. That is concentration, devotion, your postures are correct, everything. Utne tumhari zindagi shandar banegi. So much your life will become fantastic, a great fantastic life. It is in proportion how much we look after namaz, so much our deen will be made. And when our deen is made, so much our dunya will be made, and so much our akhirat also will be made. Allah Ta'ala said, أَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ That perform your namaz. Performing of namaz is itmam-i-salah. The completion of namaz is iqamati salat, to perform the salat with all its requisites, to see we get the proper sunnah time of namaz, to see that we do namaz with all its requisites, to see that we have concentration in our namaz. So all that we have to do. So some of us, we are just in this dunya, al-malu wal-banun, zinatul hayati dunya. It is just the temporary beauty of this dunya. And when it is also done without the pleasure of Allah, then this very wealth can become a great curse and burden upon us. How many people there are, like with their wealth, it leads them to gambling dens. It leads them to escort agencies. It leads them to all wrong. That very wealth of yours destroys you. And the same way with banun. And also it comes that there are many people who are ill. Allah loves them, and Allah leaves them to be ill. That if they get better, Allah knows they'll use their health in the disobedience of Allah. So Allah says for them it is better that they just remain ill, and that they don't commit all those gunas. There are so many people who are poor and in difficult, and Allah says that is better for them. If they get money, Allah Ta'ala knows that these people will use it all in haram. So for them to stay in difficult condition, that is better for them. So, and our children also, they are our children. But how many times does very children, Allah save us all, somebody becomes a drug addict, somebody becomes an alcoholic, now it's a great burden for the parents. And they wish we did not have these children. And worse than that, though unfortunately we don't understand that, if he loses his iman, if he becomes a Shia, becomes a Qadiani, he loses his iman, then how much more dangerous? So what is the use of such children? So all these things are just the things of this dunya, and that also, if Allah wishes, otherwise no enjoyment in them, of them in this dunya. And on the other thing, if a person has got baqiyatu salihat, all the good deeds, the sawabs that will remain forever in the akhirat, if he has got that, then that is khayrun inda rabbika, much, much more better for you by Allah. Even if you are sick and you have got that, then you will make sabr, and Allah's help will be with you. There is a discussion among the Sufia that is the position of shukr more higher or the position of sabr more higher. And they explain that with shukr, Allah has promised, لَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, I will give you much more. And with sabr, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, Allah is with those people who make sabr. So even if you are sick, you make sabr. You got financial problems, you make sabr. Any other difficulties, you make sabr, then that is much better for you. Much, much more better. خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. The reward is also much, much more greater. And the hope you have on that of what you're going to get by Allah Ta'ala is also much more greater. So we should see how much of these baqiyat salihat we have got in our lives, we have brought in our lives. As we were discussing, to recite the tasbihat Fatimi. 33 times Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. As we have mentioned and discussed, each one of us see if I'm doing it after every namaz or not. At least, after every namaz we should be doing it, and before going to bed, in which case we would have planted 600 trees of Jannah. And when a person says Subhanallah, then Allah, he says Allah is pure of any weakness, of any shortage in anything. Allah has got nothing negative whatsoever. Allah says, I am like that, whether you or anyone says it or not. But since you saying it, I will make you like that. I will purify you of your faults. So Subhanallah is a great tasbih to purify ourselves from faults. And there are those faults that we don't know of ourselves also. For example, a person has got some mark on his face, something in his nose, he can't see it. If you look in a mirror, you will see it. By the barakat of Subhanallah, Allah will open this to you. And all of us are such that if somebody has to tell us our faults, we feel offended. But when we realize it ourselves, we become concerned and we want to correct it. If somebody has to tell us some mark on our face or anything like that, we don't like it. But when we realize it, immediately we want to remove it. We want to correct it. So by barakat of Subhanallah, that will come to a person. He will come to know his faults. And in that also we can understand that by saying Subhanallah and our faults open up to us, humility will come in that person. Until a person doesn't know his faults and he thinks, I'm somebody great, I'm very pious, then pride comes in that person. And the least is ujub. He thinks himself better than others. And both of these things are totally haram and equally haram. Even if you don't think you're better than somebody else, just to think I'm good, that is also totally haram. And it is just as bad as thinking that you are better than somebody. And how much we think that I don't see any sin of mine. In other words, I'm all right. And therefore, we can easily find fault with others. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali gives a beautiful example. He's a person who's got cancer. And somebody else is just sneezing. He's just coughing. He's just got a cold. And this person of cancer tells him, look at the sick fowl, how sick he is. And you don't realize you got cancer. And that person has just got a cold. He's just coughing and sneezing. But like that, we are full of faults. And we don't see our faults. And we are looking at the faults of other people. And what we are thinking are faults. Sometimes they are not faults also. They are great virtues. But we seeing it with the wrong eye, and we see those virtues as wrong. Which is common also today, people who devote themselves to deen, to Allah Ta'ala. Other people regard these people that they are lazy, that they don't do any work of dunya. So to work and slog and work hard for dunya, that was not required by Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala in fact says, when a person works hard for his dunya, my banda, I didn't put you in the dunya to slave like this and to slog like that. And all we have to do is like in that hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam should read, وَعْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. Perform salah, so easy. To compare to all the hard work, a laborer who worked, or any other person, he might be the top director in a company, but his mind, the responsibility, and the worries that he has got, he might be looking, it's an air-conditioned office he's sitting in, he's got secretaries there around him, working for him, he's got people under him, but his responsibility is so heavy. But on the other hand, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا إِنْ قَدْ يُصَلَاةِ لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا. Allah declares categorically, we're not asking you for rosy. Allah didn't say anywhere that I've sent you in the world that you must go and earn your rosy. But Allah did say, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Just for my ibadat I've sent you. So you perform your namaz. لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ. We will feed you. And as long as we do what we are supposed to do, Allah will feed us. Allah will look after us everything. But when we don't do what we are supposed to do, then Allah leaves us. Now go and slog in the dunya. Work hard. And after all, whatever you earn, and you are made foolish and stupid also when you leave deen. Now you work very hard and you are very proud. I've got so many properties, so many investments, my bank balance, everything. But at the time of mort, it all leaves you. You leave it, it all leaves you. Now what did you work for? For your real eternal life, what did you accumulate? When you die in a condition like that, the family people all ask, what did he leave? And the farishtas ask, what did you bring? What have you sent forward for akhirat? We are just worried. So the Subhanallah is an easy way, baqiyatu salihat, to acquire great, great earnings. But after all, What we have discussed, each one of us asked whether I've started. It's about a minute's work to read it after every namaz. And one time before going to sleep. And by reading it before going to sleep, Allah gives us physical strength also. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala makes our chores and tasks of the day, Allah ta'ala makes it easy. So there are great, great virtues which we should not miss out. Each one of us, if we haven't started, now between us and Allah, make a promise to ourselves, promise to Allah that every day after namazes, and that is after those namazes where they are sunnat and mu'akkada, like Zohar, Maghrib and Isha, first we finish our sunnat and mu'akkada. And if we want to, we can finish all the other namazes and then read it. But we should not read it straight after the Farad. We should read Fajr and Asr. We read it straight after the Farad. But the other namazes, Zohar, Maghrib and Isha, after finish at least our sunnat and mu'akkada, then we should read it. Because the sunnat and mu'akkada is mukammil al-faraid. It completes any deficiencies which were in the farad. And farad is most important. That must be done almost immediately. No delay. So after the farad of those farads that have got sunnat and mu'akkada in them, the dua also should be short. The dua we make after Farz namaz, that dua should be short also. And we should not engage in anything else, try and read our sunnat muakkada first. On one occasion, and it comes in the hadith, that a person who reads Ayatul Kursi, other wazifas, after Farz, Ba'd al-Farida, Ba'd al-Maktuba. So I asked our Shaykh, Rahmatullah Ali, that it comes in the hadith, Ba'd al-Farida, Ba'd al-Maktuba, must read it after your Farad. So Hadrat gave this beautiful explanation. He says that you have seen two or three hadith. What your knowledge is limited to, you have seen that. But the fuqaha, the jurists of Islam, they have got in front of them all the hadith. And the grading of the hadith, and the application of the hadith, and all the principles of deen, they've got all that in front of them, and they have made their decision. An example of that came to mind, that if there is a court case carrying on, some court cases for years, months, weeks, months, it carries on. And we went and listened to the court case for 1 hour. After listening for 1 hour, we make our decision. And the judge who is listening attentively, recording, making notes, everything, listening the evidence laid for and against, the cross-examination, everything. And after hearing the whole case, doesn't make a decision, it takes time. That I will now ponder over this, and with the law in front of him, we don't even know the law. With all that law, then he makes a decision. So therefore, also of course, his judgment will be far superior than ours. So the jurist of Islam, the fuqaha, with all the hadith and the application and the spirit of Islam and the spirit of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission. And in that, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was particularly blessed. He did not in most cases look at the outward words of the hadith, but the spirit of Nabi alayhi wa sallam. What was the object of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And then to understand the Quran, when we see their understanding, we get astounded where their minds reached and how they took out points from what ayat. The masala is something else. And ayat, they take out the principle from that ayat, something completely different, which you can't think about, and they prove it. So that is the more correct thing. From there, another point for our benefit also, that whenever we sit to eat, then we should sit first and the food should come afterwards. And when we finish eating, the food must go first and then we must get up. a good understanding and explanation, and easy for us to understand. Whenever there is a courtroom, a sitting in court, a session, the people are normally in the courtroom already. But when the magistrate, the judge comes, then all have to stand up. And nobody is permitted to sit until he sits first. And after the hearing, he gets up first and he goes out. And nobody is allowed to leave until he leaves. So in that sitting, he is the most important man there. So he comes in last, and then the people can take their seats. And he goes away first. So when we sit to eat, food is more important than us. We are in need of the food. Food is not in need of us. So we must sit down first and wait for the food. Don't make the food wait for us. Unfortunately, generally, when we have any our normal meals at home or any occasion, all the food is put down first and then we come last. As though the food was in need of us. It is a type of arrogance and pride also, that the food, we make it wait for us. And if we wait for the food, humbleness will come in us. So we should wait for the food. And when we finish eat, all the food is still on the dastarkhan, and we get up and go away, sort of insulting the food. Like if somebody just walks away from somebody, that person feels offended. So we just leave the food like that. Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that if other people are going to be eating after us, if it was, many times it happened, there wasn't so much place, latecomers, people have come later. Then if the food remains on the food, or on the dastarkhan, with the condition that at least somebody must be sitting there. It shouldn't be that nobody is sitting. Even if it's a little child, let the little child be sitting. So Allah give us tawfiq of that also. So subhanallah has got great, great merits. It comes in the hadith sharif, تَمْلَأُ الْمِيزَانِ. One subhanallah will fill the pan of scales on the day of Qiyamah. And subhanallah, walhamdulillah, تَمْلَأُ. أو تملعان ما بين السماء والأرض. This whole space between the earth and the sky is filled with subhan, with sawab. When a person says one subhanallah, Allah also give us tawfiq that when we ask, anyone ask us, we ask somebody, how are you? To say alhamdulillah, I'm well, whatever. Now just by that alhamdulillah, all this whole space between the earth and the sky is filled with sawab. So deen is so easy and so much to acquire. And really on the day of Qiyamah, when this will become completely clear, and we especially who we think we are very clever, and all our other language and things that we use, our bad language, or we wasted our time, we did nothing, then we will be extremely sorrowful. A person, it comes, he will eat his hands from the fingers to the wrist, actually eat it. Like sometimes you bite yourself. A person puts his arm in his mouth and bites himself, that how, what a loss, how stupid I was, what a big mistake I made. And some will eat there up to the elbow. We'll be so sorry. Then Allah open our, remove the ghaflat, the veils from our minds, that we can see the true reality. We are exerting ourselves so much in dunya, and to acquire our akhirat is so easy. So subhanallah. And it comes in a hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, a person who reads subhanallah, just subhanallah, 100 times in the morning, 100 times in the evening, he gets the sawab of 100 hajj. Our mind boggling. And a person can only accept this when he has got yaqeen. It's the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so no doubt in it whatsoever. If we try and calculate using our brains, where we cannot calculate properly also, we will come to all the wrong conclusions. And we have yaqeen on the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And this is all like everything is prepared for us. You are invited somewhere, the meal is prepared. All the wonderful dishes are on the table. You don't have to go and grow the chicken. You don't have to go and grow the sheep. And you don't have to slaughter them and cook it. Now it's just for you to eat. Our deen has been presented to us. And therefore we should read as much Durood Sharif as possible. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, where our minds would have never ever reached. Allah inspired Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, informed him of all this, and he gave it to us. And then the Sahaba are the greatest ustads of the ummah, and the great, great ulama, and what sacrifices they made. They have given us deen on the plate now. And they have put all this, the main dishes are there, our faraid. Then our wajibat, sunnate muakkada, all the nawafil. Today a wonderful tablecloth, the dasturkhan, is where there is achar also. And not one type, three, four types of achar. And then there are not one type of, what you dip your samosa in? Chutney. How many types of chutneys again? And then there is papar and papri also. What and what? These are all on our spiritual dasturkhan. There is subhanallah, there is alhamdulillah, there is Allahu Akbar, all these wonderful things. And just like the chutney goes easily down, subhanallah goes down easily. And all the main meal, your roast, that you still have to cut out a piece and then you eat and chew it and that. So just like that, our faraid, we have to work for that. But all the other, all this, besides namaz, besides tilawat of Quran Sharif, besides dua, just to be reciting subhanallah, alhamdulillah, how much of reward. The whole place between the sky and the earth is filled with reward. And the whole place, there was one Maulana Musa of Petrushchi, Normani. A very jolly person. He should say that all the achar, etc., he should call it lukma dhakir, to push the food down. That is, a person, if he's really hungry, he will eat just pap, mealy-meal. Not salted, not sweetened also. It is dry also, it is cold also. He will eat it. But when he's full, even biryani, to push it down, you need some achar and you need some chutney. Because your stomach is full, you don't need it. We had a late breakfast and now we are going for a meal for the afternoon. So we need all these extras. Now you have to sip some juice and that also, all to push it down. So the subhanallah, etc., all these things will do that work. And then we'll see our faraid also will become easy. So we should try and engage in these ibadats. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and Allah purifies us with subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, Allah make the qualities of praise in us. And Allahu Akbar, the qualities of greatness, respect and honor. Yeah, our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair explained, normally a person will say and think that don't respect me, I'm not worthy of respect. We take that as humbleness. If there is no respect, like in the house, if the children don't respect the parents, in the classroom, the students don't respect the ustad, on the road, we don't respect the law, and everyone just does what he wants to, there will be complete chaos. So respect is required, and it is also not for us, for the deen of Allah Ta'ala, that we don't want it. I know what I am myself. Well, as a father, and I tell, don't respect me. I'm not worthy of any respect. And the children start abusing the father. What will happen in that house? So the respect has to be there for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala made it that subhanallah, it's not long ago, some of us will still remember the time. Whenever we wanted to clean something, then there were three things we had to do. Wash it first, polish it, and then shine it. Even if it was the car, you wash the car, you put the car polish on, and then you shine it. Whether it was the floor, anything. Then scientists invented a 3-in-1. And now you have 5-in-1 and 7-in-1 also. So they invented that one polish, what they said, that same thing washes, cleans it also, polishes it also, and it shines on its own also. They only did that now. Allah Ta'ala gave us 3-in-1 by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they did that for your car, for your floor, for anything else, your tithe. Allah gave it for your heart, which is the most important and valuable. By Subhanallah, we wash the heart. We cleanse it completely. With Alhamdulillah, we polish it. And with Allahu Akbar, we shine it. So if we do this regularly, we will have that shining heart. Besides namaz, having done all its work, and then this we do additionally, how won't that heart shine? And really, without exaggeration, a person who will do this regularly. But the sad part is, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam also referred to virtues of this nature. And then he said, but the doers of them are very few. We can see for ourselves that how many of us practice. Whenever we hear a bayan, how many bayans we heard, how many bayans we make, we are making, but we are not practicing. So if we just had practiced 1% of all, forget what we hear, what we made bayan on. If we practice, but in amal, we are very, very weak. So Allah give us tawfiq to do it regularly, the Tasbihat-e-Fatimi, and it isn't a matter of just coming for the program, etc., but it is a matter of making amal. In all these matters, one is the effort, and the effort is necessary. But if we don't reach the object, then the effort is also, in fact, the effort will be against us. Like knowledge of deen. The knowledge is not the object. Without the correct knowledge of deen, there will be no deen. It will be all our imaginary things. It will be all bid'at, etc. So knowledge, proper knowledge of deen is absolutely necessary. But only acquiring knowledge and not bringing deen in our lives. Do we become great alims also, but we're not practicing. Our namaz is not in order. Our other practices are not in order. Then also we are in the wrong direction. So we have to, with all our effort coming here, etc., but see if deen is coming. To have the knowledge of this tasbihat of Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Tasbihat-e-Fatima, and Kalma-e-Tamjeed, third kalima, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. How many of our small children, hearing every year the Bukhari Sharif Khatam, they also read the whole hadith off, with the narrators and everything hearing it, and just laughing and joking they read it. But nobody reads Subhanallah bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Ask us if we have got one tasbih in our day of Subhanallah bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. The virtues are so great. We all with eagerness go and listen to Bukhari Sharif Khatam, which has got all its barakat. But the object of it is practice. If it was just, we won't be asked the first question, Ma deenuka, what was your practice on deen? How much deen did you, one of the questions, first is Ma rabbuka, and then Ma deenuka, whether you had deen in your life or not. Not whether you had the knowledge of deen. And on Qiyamah Day, you will be asked that how much did you practice on your knowledge that you have. The practice is important, but Shaitan bluffs us. He leads us up that we must acquire knowledge of deen, and we want to acquire more and more. But to practice on deen is very, very, that is the actual thing what is required, the practice of deen. So to read Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, very, very easy, great, great virtues. But the thing is, we ask ourselves again, that after listening to it so much, how much are we reading our Tasbihat-e-Fatmi? How much are we reading the third kalima? How much are we reading Subhanallah bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim? These also, the virtues of them are also so great. But the thing is, again, are we doing it or not? We should be doing it and doing it regularly. And there are those people who will make sure at night, no matter how tired they are, they won't go to sleep until they have finished their wazayf. In fact, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali is written of one great pious person. He was very sleepy. He fell asleep. In his sleep, he saw the beautiful hours of Jannah, the damsels of Jannah. And they said, if you want us, then you must complete all your wazayf, all your readings. He says, after that, he never, sleep didn't come. Well, if we have to see that, and more than seeing with our eyes, and more than dreaming about it. Dream is a dream. Much more than that is the yaqeen of the heart. We all will say, if I also see such a dream. A dream is a dream. And how much you're going to depend on a dream? The yaqeen of your heart is billion times superior to all the dreams also. And Allah has given it to us. Allah give us tawfiq to practice accordingly, inshallah.